If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 7, or if you have a browser, go ahead and open it up to your Bible app to Revelation 7. Or if you want to grab a Bible that is in the chairs underneath, we're going to be on page 1220, Revelation chapter 7. Beginning at verse 9. We sang these words, we heard them as God called us together in worship, and now we consider them as we spend some time in this text. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" And I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God's word for us this morning. There are moments in life that I can hear people that shaped, had impact. I can hear their voices depending on what's doing and the time that they were connected to my life. And I was at a playoff football game yesterday, and there was a big horse of a running back that turned a corner, and the outside linebacker came in and didn't quite get there and put his arms like tight around and put his shoulder in there, and the guy just ran right through the tackle. And just as clear as day, I could hear my old coach. I could hear his voice with these words: "Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, here we go waltzing along. Majeski, tackle somebody! Don't dance!" When I'm outside kind of taking care of yard work, and we got leaves coming soon here, and raking that all up, I can still hear my landscaping boss. When I'm raking over here and I got a bag way over here, and his voice comes to my head and he says, "Majeski, don't take the work to the wheelbarrow, take the wheelbarrow to the work. Don't rake your leaves over here and then come all the way over here and then put them in. Take the bag, bring it over by your work and then fill it up," right? That makes sense. And I can hear the voice of Dr. Hilgendorf. He was my professor for communication in my early years at Concordia University. Dr. Hilgendorf had this deep, booming verse and voice and a PhD in communication, and he cared about clear communication. This is the first guy that really was speaking into my life at the point when I was really thinking that I would be, God willing, proclaiming, communicating God's love to other people. And I'll never forget his words. Class, do not mix your metaphors. Don't mix your metaphors. Everybody will be confused. They won't know what you're talking about. So, yes, you can say something like, that event was burned into my memory. And then that event washed over me. But you cannot say it burned in your memory and washed over you together. Because fire burns and water washes, pick one and stick with it and keep it clear. Don't mix your metaphors. Which is why I hear Dr. Hilgendorf's voice, and it's hard for me to hear the voice of St. John in this incredible Word of God. His voice that gives communication to this incredible vision. You see, John is mixing his metaphors. He tells us about a throne. And you would think that on this throne, there's a king. When you hear throne, you think of a king sitting on that throne with his crown and all power and might. That's what you would expect. But we see that on this throne is seated a lamb. And before you can get over that there's a lamb on a throne, he says that this lamb is a shepherd. And if that's mixed up enough, at the very end, John puts all three together in one verse. He says, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And Dr. Hilgendorf is in the background teaching, because this isn't right. Don't mix your metaphors. But John is in the foreground and he is preaching because it is oh so right. So right for you and for me on this day when we observe All Saints' Day. That God is mixing his metaphors, not because he doesn't want to be clear about communication, but because he does. He mixes metaphors because he cares about you and he cares about me. And he knows that only by mixed metaphors that you and I can see something that otherwise we would have missed and not seen it at all. It's like if you go to see a stage play, and in that world of theater, there is a blue light and a red light and a green light. Three different worlds are lit up by each color. But all of a sudden, when those three lights come together in a spotlight, something that you wouldn't have seen is lit up, and you see it so clear. It's all white. And that's what's happening in this reading. Did you notice it? That detail, so small, you could have missed it. the Lamb at the center of the throne will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wiping away a tear. So small and insignificant. Why would you notice it? I mean, think about the vision. John has seen thousands upon thousands of angels above the throne. He has seen four living creatures, too amazing and bizarre to even mention. He sees 24 elders and 24 thrones, taking 24 crowns, throwing them down before the Lamb. He sees a multitude of people, too great to count, from every tribe and tongue and language and nations. So many, they're not even named. You don't know what tribes they're at. You don't know what language they're saying. Because John is overwhelmed by the greatness of all that he sees. And just when you think it cannot get any greater and magnificent, it does. It gets greater by becoming smaller. So small that all you see is a shepherd stooping down to wipe away a tear. Now, why would you notice something like that in the midst of all of that grandeur? Well, that's where mixing metaphors is helpful. Because the shepherd, who was and is the Lamb, knows the meaning of wiping away a tear. You see, a lamb becomes a shepherd. It's kind of like a patient becoming a physician. You know, we've all heard about those physicians who have never been patients. They are in the room and they are out of the room. They're incredibly effective in their job. But they do not stay in that room very long. Why? Because they've never had to. They've never had to stay in a room struggling with that question about chemo. But when the patient becomes a physician, that physician stays in the room. Because he knows. He knows the value of that time. How hard it is to carefully unwrap a question that's too fragile to put into words. A lamb becoming a shepherd. It's like the struggling student who becomes a teacher. You know that struggling student? That's still at the desk, white-knuckling that pencil because they know time is running out and they still are struggling to get it all complete. Everyone else has handed it in, they're making noise, they're all disruptive, and that student is still there. Struggling. That struggling student who in the morning thought all of it was all up here. They had worked hard for the test, but in the morning, chaos erupts in that house. There are raised voices, there is tension and struggle. In everything that was up here in the morning of chaos is gone when they're at that desk trying to work through it. That student who becomes a teacher, when they're a teacher, there's going to be red marks. But that student who that struggling student who became a teacher is going to follow those red marks with words of encouragement. Don't give up. You can do this. Try again. Keep at it. You're smart. You're valuable. Because they get it. The lamb that becomes a shepherd gets it. Remembers and knows the value of wiping away a tear from suffering and pain and heartache and death and sadness and sin. Jesus Christ is that lamb, God Himself, who became human. He knows our struggle. He knows our sins. He knows our suffering and our pain. And the price of that knowledge is death, eternal death under the wrath of God. But when He rises from the dead, He didn't forget that experience. He remembers what it's like. Like scars on your hands. The shepherd knows what it means to wipe away a tear. And I needed those words this week. I needed them because I needed help to see things that maybe otherwise I would have never seen. To see the Lamb. You know, I knew that we would be commemorating, remembering together people we love, names of those who have died. And as it would have it, I had two funerals at William Sullivan Funeral Home. One on Thursday of a 50-year-old gentleman who died of pneumonia. Found out a few weeks earlier he had stage 4 cancer, which required incredibly aggressive chemotherapy and radiation, which wearied his body, depleted it completely, so much so that when his body was so depleted, he got pneumonia and he couldn't fight it. And he died. And there's something in me that got that as a young man whose dad died way too soon. And I knew the heartache. And on yesterday, there's a precious woman, 90 years old, a mother, a grandmother, who had a family grieving. And the family comes to me in the midst of all that grief and says, "Pastor, is it okay if our brother-in-law plays a few songs?" And I'm thinking, okay, how about one song? You know, two? I don't know. Oh, and by the way, Pastor, there's some family that just wants to say a few words. And I'm thinking, a few words? I know what that means. Oh, my gosh. I mean, how about one? Can't just one? You want to know why? Here this family was in grief, and you know what I was thinking about? Can I just get out of here? I got a ball game I want to see. Just give me my check, and I'm out of here. Can you imagine someone so selfish, at the moment he is supposed to bring God's word of comfort to people in grief? The only way that God would send someone so sinful and selfish, it's only through the Lamb. That Lamb who forgives. And He sends out even people like me. And what that Lamb does in His forgiving mercy and grace, it's not just true for me. It's true for you. So see the Lamb. And see the Shepherd. It was an ordinary morning. Right here. We're in a simple, quiet stillness of the morning. It was before the chaos of kids coming in here with their backpacks and all of what they bring and their energy, these kids, you know. And there I saw the Shepherd as the staff here at Grace, the staff of our preschool, the office staff, in a circle, holding hands, praying. Praying for people that were in the midst of the shadow of death and suffering. And there I heard of a Shepherd who was with them through it all. See the Shepherd. And man, do we need to see the throne. To see and to know we have a God who reigns. That salvation belongs to Him. In the midst of a crazy world where vehicles can get on a walking path and kill. In the midst of one scandal of sexual abuse after another, that God in His just mercy will one day say enough and all will be made right. Today we gather to listen to John's voice. Because it changes the way that we see a Lamb and a Shepherd and a throne. Because the Lamb at the center of the throne is a Shepherd who wipes away your tears and mine. In Jesus' name, amen.